Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 32, verses 1 through 16. Lament for the inevitable fall of Egypt. God has exalted his word to the level of his name, namely to the level of his reputation as God, Psalm 138, verse 2. That's an amazing verse, but it's a wonderful one. We can trust the word of God on par with the being of God. If we believe that God exists, and he does, and he's all-powerful, we can trust his word. It's accurate, it's divinely inspired, and that he keeps his word. Well, Ezekiel chapter 32, 1-16 was a lament given on the fall of Egypt 17 years before that nation succumbed to the Babylonian invasion. And it offers a tremendous illustration of the inevitability of the fulfillment of God's prophecies. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ezekiel 32, 1 through 16. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lament for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, or I like to translate it as a sea monster. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and stirred up the waters with thy feet, and fouled the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with the company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in thy net. Then I will fling thee out upon the land and cast thee forth upon the open field. And I will cause all the birds of the heaven to remain upon you, and I will fill the animals of the entire earth with you. And I will lay your flesh open upon the mountains and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars therefore dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people, and I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for you, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of your fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon you. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them. They shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then I will make their waters deep, cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of what whereof it was full, when I shall smite all of them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nations shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt and for all her multitude, saith the Lord God. God gave his prophet Ezekiel the Ezekiel 32, 1-16 prophecy on March 3, 585 BC, 2 months after the news of Jerusalem's fall had reached the captives of Babylon. Well, this news would have produced shock and gloom to these captives who for years had doubted Ezekiel's predictions that Jerusalem would indeed fall to Babylon. All of a sudden, the realization had set in that the words Ezekiel had been giving them were the true words from God himself. So this would have been an eye-opener to these people. They had taken Ezekiel lightly. They hadn't really believed him. All of a sudden, Jerusalem has fallen to Babylon, just like he said. So in line with this awakening among the Hebrew captives about Ezekiel's words, the fall of Egypt, he had predicted, was now so certain that Ezekiel was told to take up a lament concerning Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, what's interesting, in those days, a lament, or it's a funeral dirge, that's what it is, was usually delivered when one was buried, not only after they had died, but after they had been buried. But Egypt hadn't even fallen to Babylon yet. In fact, it would not fall for another 17 years. I did some research and found that it fell in 568, 567. So this lament sealed the certainty of the doom of Egypt for Ezekiel's readers, even though it was 17 years off. It didn't make any difference. You know, there's a prophecy that a prophet of the Lord gave about the altar in Bethel. That occurred, and that prophecy was fulfilled, 250 years? It might have been over 300 years after the prophecy was given. So time, in God's, you know, the Bible says 1,000 years is one day with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years. God's not inhibited by time. When he gives his word, he's going to fulfill it. But it's just a matter of when. Well, that lament is presented in three parts in Ezekiel 32, 2-16 as follows. First of all, Egypt's fall is described in verses 2-8. Though Pharaoh, king of Egypt, was like a lion among the nations and a monster in the seas for his seeming ferocity and invulnerability, a sea monster that churned up the usually calm waters and that his actions to counter Babylon's advance disturbed surrounding nations, God would spread out his net with a great company of invaders. These invaders, of course, would be from Babylon. And bring upon him, bring up him up out of the water onto the land, hurling him onto the open field where he would lose his power. The picture here is like taking something like, this monster could have been a crocodile, a lot of crocodiles in the Nile River at the time. And you gather this animal in the net, and you take the animal away from where he's really powerful, which is in the water, and you fling him out onto the land, or maybe a great big fish. You might take a very dangerous, a giant fish that would be very threatening in the water, but you throw him up on the land, he's powerless. All he can do is just sit there and flap his fins, his flippers. So that's the picture here. There the birds and the wild animals would feast on the dead carcasses of Pharaoh's once powerful army, causing even the land to be drenched with the flowing blood of the carcasses. This is very graphic, but it pictures the invasion. When God then caused Pharaoh to fall, blotting him out of the book of the earthly living in his death, since he in Egyptian lore represented the light and life of Egypt, his fall would be likened to God blotting out the light of the sun, the moon, and the stars in the heavens above the land of Egypt, leaving it in gloom. As you know, that the Egyptians worshiped the sun god, and one of the plagues that Moses presented on the land of Egypt was darkness. In fact, the darkness was so thick that the people couldn't even get out of bed. That's dark, really, really dark. But in the land of Goshen, where Israel was, it's perfectly light, which would have been a miracle in and of itself, because you can't have darkness that is so dark, so close to the land of Goshen, that is so light, unless there's a miracle, because light has a tendency to be refracted and reflected and so forth, especially with the desert out there. The sun coming down to the desert would reflect up, so even though there was darkness, you could see something. But that's evidence that there was complete darkness. But the Egyptians were also, a big part of Egyptians' theology is death. There's the underworld and so forth. So God is using Egyptian belief series. In other words, he says, I'm going to bring gloom upon you. And the Egyptians understood perfectly what God was talking about. Well, second, the reactions of the nations around Egypt is described in verses 9 and 10. Egypt's complete collapse and destruction under Babylonian invasion would horrify surrounding nations who had witnessed this catastrophe. Why? Well, these onlooking nations would fear for their own existence, realizing that if Babylon had so completely destroyed the great nation of Egypt, what might Babylon do to them? So that's what they're afraid of. That it made them very, very insecure, understandably so. Well, third, the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, whom God used to defeat Egypt, are described in verses 11 to 16. In verses 11 and 12a, God predicted that he would cause the sword of the king of Babylon to come upon Egypt to cause its multitude to fall by the mighty, ruthless Babylonian soldiers. It's interesting, in repeat prophecies, the Babylonians were referred to as ruthless soldiers. We've seen evidences of what they have done to bodies because they have unearthed, and in archaeology, they've unearthed bodies. It's amazing. They would just literally crush people with war clubs. It's just phenomenal. And they were ruthless. They would kill men, women, children. It didn't matter. Then the pride of Egypt and her might would be obliterated with the death of her many soldiers. Even Egypt's cattle would be destroyed in the massive Babylonian attack, so that no feet of cattle or men would muddy the waters around the Nile, as Egypt would be laid bare of man and beast. Now this is remarkable, because normally an invading army will take the cattle and use it as booty and capture it. But they just slaughtered the cattle too. Apparently when they got down to Egypt, they were in the mood for waging war, and they waged war and everything, and they just butchered them. God closed by saying that people would then know that he was the Lord, and that the daughters of the nations would chant this lament regarding the multitude of Egypt that had fallen. You have to keep in mind, Egypt had been around for thousands of years. A long, long time. Nobody had known that Egypt had actually been completely, she'd been invaded and so forth, but to be obliterated as a nation like this, till the Babylonians came along, and it really did a number on. Now, Egypt returned, the captives returned, but after Babylon destroyed Egypt, Egypt was never again a powerful nation. It has never since been, just in fulfillment of prophecy. So the lesson is, though it was 17 years before the event actually occurred, so certain was Egypt's prophesied fall to Babylon that God had Ezekiel produce a prophetic lament for Egypt as if she were already buried. So Ezekiel's Hebrew audience that still reeled from the news of Jerusalem's fall and the realization that his prophecies about that fall had been proven to be true might realize that Egypt likewise was absolutely sure to fall. So, in application, may we realize that God's prophecies in Scripture will certainly be fulfilled, and we need to adjust as needed. If we have doubts about that, better not. You can put them behind. Better adjust right now, because God's promises will come to pass. And then, if we've made all necessary adjustments, may we expectantly hope for God's fulfillment of his word. And that's what we're doing. We believe in our church in the pre-tribulation rapture. The very next event on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. And so we're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to that. It's very, very important to take God's word seriously and to believe it. It comes to pass. It will come to pass. So may we heed it, and may we adjust.